Hello, nerds, and welcome to another Havoccast podcast. I am Dan, the Lonely Havoc. This is the podcast that talks about tabletop war games, tabletop role-playing games, the hobby, and the most important part of the hobby is the people that play, including you. This week, I am going to talk about stretching out your comfort zone just a little bit so that you can enjoy the amazing world of role-playing games and hobbies. I'm going to talk to my buddy Dan, Grew of the Grimdark. We're going to have a lovely time chit-chatting about games and other nonsense. And then a quick wrap-up update on the Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game one-shot that I played this past weekend on Saturday night. It was a good time. And we had lots of laughs. And that's the important part, really. So please sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. Get ready for the podcast that's held together by hot glue and green stuff. The Havoccast. This is podcast number 13. Lucky 13. I love games. Do you know why I love games? Because games don't care. Games don't care where you're from. Games don't care what you look like. Games don't care what gender you are. Games just want you to have a good time. And they're going to make you have a good time, goddammit. You better have fun if you're playing a game. That's the whole point. I love that games equalize everyone. We all play by the same rule set. We all enter a social contract together to have fun, to enjoy ourselves, to laugh, to make the experience a good one for everyone involved. That's why I love games. And games doesn't care who you are. Games just wants you to play. Games just wants you to show up, be a part of the experience. Goddammit, I love games. So check this out. You might be having a tough time finding games. You might be having a tough time feeling confident enough in yourself to go find a game or to go meet people who play games so you can then play games with them. And I understand, because it's difficult and it's nerve-wracking and it causes anxiety. And I believe anxiety is very real. And I believe anxiety is also a son of a bitch. And I am by no way minimizing anxiety. I am by no way minimizing depression, because I know those things are awful and they make you just sort of want to hide away from the world and not be involved. But games are calling you. Games want you to be involved. The people that play games want you to be involved. Games are always a good experience. Wait, but I hear someone in the back saying, "Oh, Dan, I've heard these terrible experiences with people being shitty and sexist and racist while playing games." And I am here to say, fuck those people. Don't let those people stop you from looking for a game that you want to play and for finding your own community, because the community of people that play games is largely good. That's what I believe. We hear the shitty stories, but the community at large are wonderful, thoughtful, welcoming people, and remember that. So we need to have faith in games and in the community that plays them. That's what I'm all about, and I think that's what you should be about. And I know it's tough. So you could start small. I love social media because it gives us access to gamers, people that play games, people that create games, people that write about games, people that do art about games. You could start on your social media by commenting on something that you see, on a game that you see being played, on a model that you like the color scheme of, someone describing a game that they played and telling them how much you enjoy them describing the game that they're playing. Someone creating fan art for a game that they enjoy. You can start by commenting there and saying, "That is awesome. I've always wanted to play that game. Do you play? Tell me more." Now, for the more adventurous of you, and this is the next step, is finding a community. And I know it's difficult to do. Some places are bigger than others, and some places just have more opportunity, more people. More people with the same mindset. Always looking for game stores in your area is the way to go. And I know it can be scary because there's so many horror stories of game stores that are just awful places to be. But it's a start. Decide to maybe just pop in one day. Kind of look around. You don't have to stay long. Maybe there's games being played. You can kind of poke your head in. Look over some shoulders. And see what they got going on there. Oftentimes, game stores will have different activities set up on different days, so you can find a game night for something that you're interested in and maybe make plans to attend. I know it's scary. It could be tough. You never know who you're going to meet, but you need to take that leap of faith. The games will always catch you. The game will equalize the playing field between the types of players. And yes, you probably will meet some weird, shitty people. But I'm here to tell you that's just a fact of life. There's going to be crappy people out there. There's going to be people out there you don't get along with. There's going to be people out there that you don't really like their company. That's fine. That's life. The more you experience it, the more you expose yourself to that kind of thing, the better off you're going to be in the long run. Because then when you do meet someone like that, it's not going to throw you for a loop. Largely, the game community is harmless. Largely. There are some, again, who suck. And we can avoid those people. We can refuse to play games with them. That's fine. It's your time. You're allowed to do with it what you like. So if you can, get to your game store, find some people, and maybe there's not a game store. Maybe there is no community. I am going to urge you and challenge you to create your own community. Where does this community begin? It begins by looking on social media for people in your area that might be interested in playing and are in the same situation and don't have anyone to play with. It might start with your friend circle. Maybe they don't know much about games yet. Maybe they have thought about it but haven't really approached you with it. Maybe you can find people that you work with who might have like-minded hobbies, and you sort of say, hey, want to play some board games? And the next thing you know, you're both drowning in 10,000 points worth of Space Marines, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's ways to go about it, but the key is to put some of that fear aside and take a small leap of faith that the people that you meet in the gaming community are going to be good and fun and often have the same mindset that you do. They just want to have a good time, meet nice new people, and play some games. So take a leap of faith, get out there, start small, talk to someone online maybe, share your thoughts, and then branch out more if you can. Get to your game store, find a game night or people playing a game that you like, and start a conversation. It's scary stuff, I know. But I think you can do it. I have faith in you. I have faith in games. I have faith in the community. And now a lovely conversation with my buddy Dan, Gru of the Grimdark.
All right. Hey. Yes. Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Dan. Hey, Dan. This is Dan. How are you doing, Dan?
Dan, this is Dan, too. How you doing, awesome. Dan?
And I'm living the dream. I'm keeping it real. I'm going to ask you 20 odd questions. Is that cool?
That's cool with me.
Cool. Let's do this thing. Dan Groove the Grimdark. Is that what you are on the Twitters?
Yep. That's how I known on the Twitterverse.
That's right. And I think you painted some stuff for the Rainbow Warriors project, right?
Yes, I did. That was actually how I kind of got to know all you guys there.
That's how I know you. That's how we know each other, Dan.
That's how we met, Dan.
Question one, what's your favorite paint color?
Favorite paint color. I'm going to have to go with Stegodon Scale Green. I ended up doing like all my Dark Eldar in it. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of like that, like, you know, it's just a mix of like gray, blue, green, darker color. It's like a great base for putting down. I don't know. I think a lot of people used it for like the Seraphim for AOS.
Mm-hmm. So, the name?
Yeah, I guess so. Makes sense, right?
Right. So I like this question that I asked Office Painter. Which sci-fi character do you identify with the most?
Sci-fi character I identify with the most. Okay. We may have to double back on that one. I'll have to think on that
a
little bit.
You have to think about it?
Yeah. Do I get my free mulligan for this one?
You can get... I'll come back and ask you before the end if I remember.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah. When and how did you get into the hobby?
My dad was always like he was really into like fine scale modeling when I was younger. So I don't know, probably like 7, 8, 9, I started building like model airplanes, model cars. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of, like, you know, World War II miniatures. Like, he was into doing, like, dioramas and stuff like that. So I think one day, like, you know, back when that whole dial-up internet thing came around, I was just looking around, and I came across this, like, Warhammer 40,000, completely blew me away.
Right.
I was like, oh, cool. It's something I can paint some cool-looking models and actually play a game with. And I was always a big fan of, like, the real-time strategy games on the computer and stuff. So it was kind of just, like, a natural fit of two of my interests. So, yeah, probably, like, when I was, like, 8 or 9. I don't know, what year, like, 93, 94, around then.
So you were on the internet when you were 8 or 9 without parental supervision?
No, it had to be older, didn't it?
I don't know. I mean, some parents do that now. Here's a computer.
Yeah, I know. Here's a phone. Here's a
screen.
Here's a screen.
Shut the fuck up so I can watch TV.
Yep.
No, totally cool. My dad was into, like, he was into historicals, but he did World War II, and he did, like, with the Redcoats, you know, Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, like,
smaller scale.
Like the Dragoons and stuff like that, like the horse guys.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, all right. No, I need to go back. Okay, so rewind. My first foray in was...
That's the rewind sound.
You got to have, like, the little, like, sound when it finally stops.
And, like, the click, because it's a tape, and people my age used tapes back in the day. Go. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know if you ever remember the game HeroQuest.
I do remember the game HeroQuest.
Okay.
I
had... That was the one I got when I was 8 or 9, and that's what I started doing, painting the figures for that.
Yep.
So then, like, fast forward, I don't know, a couple years once internet came around, I think I was, like, middle school or something, and that's when I found out about Warhammer. But I didn't have any shops or anything around me where I grew up, so, like, everything I had to order was online. And, you know, like, back in that day, like, when everything first started, like, ordering something online, it's, oh, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, we can't give our information out over this interweb thing that they just invented.
Yeah, nowadays.
Do you remember White Dwarf had, like, all the catalog stuff in the back? Did you have that back in your day, or was it going way back?
No, I vaguely remember from seeing stuff here and there, but I never had availability to get White Dwarf regularly. But, yeah, like, I remember just in general back in the time, every kind of magazine you got had some kind of catalog or sales thing in the back and little tear-out order forms.
Right, yeah. That was the coolest thing about White Dwarf is, like, you could go in the back and it just had the different metal minis. Like, usually the ones that were featured in the magazine, like, if there was a bat rep or if there was, like, a conversion, it would show you, like, the pieces that you need to buy to make the conversion and shit. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, now you just go online and look at everything. So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
The internet's changed our lives, Dan.
It has, Dan. Very much.
Plastic spacemen's and pornography. That's pretty much all I use it for.
Yep.
Necessarily in that order. Are you usually early or late?
Usually early.
You're
kind of
early
a
person?
Yeah. I start at, like, my job. I usually start at, like, 4 a.m. So.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's... you get used to it. When I first started the job, I was like, oh, this sucks.
What's the job? What do you do?
I work in structural fabrication, so, like, I'm a welder, fitter.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Usually we'll start, like, I'll usually work, like, 4 to 3 around those times. In the summertime, it's the best because usually then it's not, like, disgustingly hot and humid at that time.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's probably the most miserable part of the job is in the summertime.
I really like... are early for things because I'm chronically early for everything. It's just how I was raised, and then I was in the military forever, so I'm like 20-30 minutes early for everything. My wife thinks I'm insane. She's like, oh, we got plenty of time. I'm like, no, we don't. There's traffic. There's what if there's an accident, what if there's this, we got to walk to the car, that's like 2 minutes right there. You know, like, everything is down to the minute. That's just what...
Yeah, my wife gives me a lot of shit because she's like a very easygoing, you know, not as punctual as I am. Like, whenever we're supposed to go somewhere, like, I'm there, like, downstairs 45 minutes early. I'm like, come on, let's go, you know, clapping my hands, like, let's go, we gotta go.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so trying to, like, get her and a 3-year-old out of the house is not always the easiest task.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare. I pace. I'm a pacer. I'm ready early, and I just sort of, like, pace around while my wife is putting...
Oh, yeah. On. Yep.
I found that, like, it's a good time to, like, paint minis a little bit. Like, you just get a few strokes in, if you will. Because it takes her, like, I don't know, 20 minutes to, like, put her makeup on and do all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go put a few dabs of paint down on a thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's usually when I, like, sit and, like, I'll flip, like, the Weather Channel on or something. Hey, what's it going to do today?
Right, yeah. A quiet moment. What are you looking forward to in the coming months?
Big thing this year is Adepticon.
Be my
first time going.
Yeah, girl.
So I'm really stoked about that.
That's cool, man. I love Adepticon even more now. When I first started going, the first one I went to, I went by myself because I had just moved here to Illinois and no one else would go with me because I didn't have any friends. Then the next, like, 3 or 4 years, like, we always brought a crew with us. And slowly those guys are kind of, like, not as interested in it as I am. So I go and now I just know people that are there. So it's not like I feel like, I don't feel alone, you know, or like I'm going to have to bring my crew with me. It's like I could go there and then I have people.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward. You know, like we were talking earlier about the Rainbow Warriors thing. Like, it'd be nice to kind of finally, like, put some faces and meet in person.
Yeah.
Everybody that worked on that.
And we're supposed to play Sigmar.
Oh, yeah. Sigmar. I don't. That's going to have. I'm going to have to get my Deepkin painted.
Get right your shit together, Dan.
I'm slacking, Dan.
I'll crush unpainted models just as well as painted models, so that's not a big deal.
I know. I have, like, this weird thing where I don't like bringing unpainted models to a game. Like, yeah, if I'm just fucking around at home, that's different, but
I wish more people were like you, Dan.
I try to spread the word.
Yeah, I'm not saying it, like, ruins my immersion, but it just looks so much cooler when the models are painted.
Yeah. I played in a, like, we just got a Games Workshop store around where I live opened up last year. And he, you know, the owner of it's awesome. He's, like, running leagues and stuff. We had a 40K league. And that was, like, my big thing is I'm like, I'm not bringing unpainted stuff to play. And he even said, he's like, the amount of unpainted armies that I'm seeing are just crazy. He's like, I'm not expecting, like, people to walk in here with, like, you know, artistic masterpieces, but
yeah.
Just, like, at least get some colors on it. Cause, like, even the games, like, I'd play, like, if me and my opponent both had full painted armies, like, other people in the store would be, like, stopping to watch.
Yeah.
Or, like, if somebody came in to just go, oh, hey, what's this? And browsing around it, he's like, oh, well, just look at that table over there. They're playing a game of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get that people don't have time. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
Time is a resource that we're running out of, you know, a little bit every day, but just, you know, maybe a little bit of effort. Okay, here's my thing. It's like people that switch their armies so often that they never get anything painted.
Yeah.
They're constantly, like, just, like, kind of, what's the best thing? What's the cool thing right now? And then starting the cool thing, which, I mean, I guess that's one way to play. And if you got the money, go for it. But
yeah. I guess, like, if that's your thing to do, like, you know, go nuts, do you. I like the whole immersion of it. Like, you know, I like getting down to eye level and, you know, playing the whole theater of the thing in my head while we're playing.
Yeah. Making noises. Pew, pew, pew.
Yep.
You know? I always, like, if my guy dies, I'm always like, ah, like, I make a dead noise. And, like, if you got, like, 30 guys that die, like, in one round, you're just like, ah, 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 like, over and over again. And
screaming.
It's a whole thing. I'm terrible when I play. You'll see. I'm awful. You'll be like, I should not have played with this guy.
Nah, it'll be all good. It'll be all good fun, brother.
Like, this guy can't stop screaming and being ridiculous. And it's just, like, a whole thing. What events did you sign up for?
I actually didn't sign up for any events. The one I was thinking of doing was, like, the friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking, like, there's, like, you know, like, painting classes, like, airbrush classes I was looking at. But I also kind of, since it's my first time going, like, I didn't want to be sitting in classes or, like, kind of have, like, a schedule that I had to follow.
Yeah. I did that, like, I did another bell curve. Like, the first one I went to, I did a couple of things. Oh, I didn't do anything. Yeah, I just walked around. And the second one, I did more stuff. And the third one, I did more stuff. And then, like, probably, like, my fifth or sixth one, I was going to, like, shit all day. And then the next one, I was like, I don't want to do anything because I didn't get to hang out. I didn't get to just chill and play pickup games. So, like, now I've got, like, two things that I signed up for.
Yeah, I feel like you kind of want to go for, like, that balance. Like, maybe do, like, one, two events or so and then kind of spend the rest of the time hanging out.
Yeah. Hanging out parts.
I don't know. Was it you that mentioned it? I want to get a group together and do that Artemis Bridge Simulator.
Yeah, that was me that mentioned
it. Was it you that mentioned that? Because I was looking through the event list.
They're still open, right?
Yeah, there was tons of openings for it.
Let's do it, dude. Let's coordinate swatches and fucking do it.
Yeah, let's get a bridge crew together and You know,
it just seems really fun. I had signed up for it 1 year, and it was on a Sunday. And then by the time Sunday rolled around, everyone was just like ready to go home, so we skipped it.
Yeah,
it was only like $5 or something like that. But you know, it's there every year. We might as well fucking do it.
Yeah, right. I remember seeing a video for it like years ago. Yeah. I was like, this is one of the coolest fucking things ever.
Yeah.
And then like that was kind of the end of it.
we'll get some of the Rainbow Warriors together and we'll do it.
I'm in. That sounds like a good time.
It'll be sweet. Where would you spend all of your time if you could?
I'm big into the outdoors. I like, you know, hunting, fishing. One of my things up until my son was born, like every year I used to go up salmon fishing up in upstate New York. And like just kind of like being out on the river there, like everything's like quiet and nice and, you know, yeah, nature, it's pretty. Like to me, that's it. That's where I could be.
Do you have a hammock tent?
I actually do not.
Oh, you need to step up your game, bro.
I know. I need to kind of up my game there.
Yeah. Dan, get a hammock tent. That's the
shit. I will, Dan.
They're so fucking cool. Like, and if you like hike, that's like the best thing ever because it's like hardly any like weight and it's just it's so fun. It gets cold as fuck though. I feel like it's a cold day and like air is just sort of circulating around you. So, you know, you got to think about that, but yeah, it's so fun.
I know like I used to when I was younger, like that when you go out, like, you know, I'd go out deer hunting and it's like in the morning, you're kind of sitting there like the sun's just starting to come up. It's like that. Mm-hmm. It's nice and like that crisp coolness.
Yep.
I used to love that shit. I don't know if it's age or whatever, but now I'm kind of like, fuck this. It's freezing out.
Yeah.
It just rained. I'm sitting on a cold rock. Like, I can't be bothered with this shit anymore.
It's age. It's definitely age. It's like the more you, like, older you get, you're camping, you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll bring this air mattress and I'll just bring this little heater and, you know, all
that shit.
Like, I like to canoe camp. That's like my big thing. Like, throw everything in the canoe and just like go down the river and stop somewhere. It's kind of,
I know. There's a trip that my uncle, my cousin, me and my dad were looking at, and I mean, it costs quite a bit to go out, but it's like you fly out to Vegas and then from there they like fly you into the Grand Canyon and it's just like a week long rafting trip through the Grand Canyon.
Oh, that's so awesome.
You'll go cover so many miles, like so much distance on the river, and then you pull up, you know, your guides will set camp up, and then there's like paths for hiking. You can fish, you can sightsee, you know, do whatever you want. I was like, that'd be a great vacation. One of my favorite places to go camping is actually like Gettysburg, just because I love Civil War history. So like being able to like actually kind of go walk around on a lot of those battlefields and stuff, and then, you know, do like the sightseeing down there because it's an old town. So it's kind of cool to see how much different it is from like living in a more modern place.
What was the last book you read?
New book or because the last one I finished was Fear to Tread, but I've already read that before.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was it.
Is that a 40K book or?
Yeah, it's Horus Heresy.
How many
like the whole
Horus Heresy books are there? There's like 100 of them.
Too many.
I read the first like 4, and then I was like looking at the list, and I was like, I'm not going to read all these books.
Yeah, I read like the first 3 that kind of like set the stage.
Yeah,
and
I'm
like, these are way too expensive. You know, takes way too much time to read through them. So I kind of like pick and choose which ones I read. But being a huge Blood Angel fan, like Fear to Tread was kind of like a natural go-to for me.
Right. Do you do audiobooks?
Sometimes, yeah. I'm signed up for the Audible thing.
Yeah.
So I don't do all Black Library stuff through there. Like I'll pick up other books and stuff. I don't have as much of a commute as I used to years ago. So that kind of like put a damper on like, you know, podcasts and audiobooks and stuff.
Listening time, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever can keep you sane through like insane traffic, keep me from yelling at stupid people that don't know how to pay attention.
if you had a warning label, what would yours say?
Don't feed the bear. I'm like very possessive of like food. Like,
are you?
Oh God.
Do you eat with like your hand like around your plate so no one can get at your food?
Not as bad anymore.
Did you used to do that?
When I was like my early 20s, I lived in a house, like we had a bunch of us lived in a house together. And it like everything that was done in the house was like the Hunger Games, like everybody for themselves. Like, so like eating, like if you like made a plate of food, put it down, got up and went to go do something, you'd come back. Somebody else would like grab something and eat it.
Just like take it.
Yeah. We were just absolute fucking animals to each other.
like college or something or just.
I wasn't in college at the time, but, you know, it basically along that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like everybody's got to kind of go through that and get it out of their system. We would, we got into this thing where, like, we kind of had to have a house meeting and be like, all right, guys, everything's getting out of control here.
Right.
Because we got into, at one point, airsoft guns, where we were like, all right, this is going to be fun. And then, like, next thing you know, like, you're taking a shower, you're sitting on the toilet, and the door flies open, and somebody pops in with, like, an airsoft shotgun and just starts ripping shots off at you. Like, I almost felt like there were times I felt like that scene in Godfather where they're, like high in the hideouts and stuff, like, laying down on the mattresses, and they got, like, rifles and Tommy guns and shit. Like,
waiting.
Yeah, like, I'd have, like, an airsoft M16 next to my bed at night, just in case.
So you finally called the ceasefire.
Yeah, we had to sit down and be like, all right, guys, like, you know, none of us are getting enough sleep for work. Like, everybody's getting pissed off. Yeah. Like,
everyone's on edge.
Hey, so-and-so now has, like, a giant welt on their forehead that people are asking questions about.
Yeah, that's funny.
I mean, it was, actually, in hindsight, you know, you look back and it's like, it was fun to, you know, go through that at the time, but now it's kind of
that. We had that at, when I was stationed in Korea, we had, our whole dorm was like our squadron, so everybody knew each other.
Yeah.
And then in Korea, they have those airsoft guns everywhere, and, like, they're usually more simple, like, you just kind of, like, cock them and shoot them or whatever, but they're still really cool. And so that became a thing, same thing. People started buying these little airsoft guns and just running up and down the hallways, like, shooting each other and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, totally against the rules, especially for military. And I remember one day, like, we were just, like, just going crazy in there. And everybody was drunk all the time. So let's preface it with that.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was always drunk all the time in Korea. And, like, just
that was
running
pretty much our issue, too.
Yeah. And you just think it's a good idea. And I remember our first sergeant came in and was like, what the fuck is going on in here? And everyone was like, just like stopped, like, you know, froze. And we all had like guns in our hands. And he was just like, I'm taking all of those. Those are all mine now. And he like literally walked around with like a fucking bucket and just collected everybody's guns.
That's great.
Those were the days. Yeah. Next question. Who was your first crush?
My first crush. I was a big Jennifer Love Hewitt fan when I was younger.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah.
Good crush.
That was, you know, that lasted the better part of a decade.
Yeah, she's still pretty tasty. I like some Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
Some JLH.
Right?
she's on a show now. It's like emergency something emergency. I don't know. She's on a show right now, and a commercial for it came on, and my wife's like, Jennifer Love Hewitt's still on TV? I was like, thank God.
Right? All's right in the world.
Yes. Yes, she is. I think she's like an operator for like 911 or something like that. And
no,
like,
shit.
She pretty much just sits at like a desk the whole time answering, like, with the little, you know, earpiece microphone thing in, and the camera is just kind of a downward angle. You know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how JLH do.
You got like that, like, usually with those shows, you have like the ominous, like, tone beats in the background as they're like desperately answering calls.
Yeah. What is that show? I can't remember. I haven't actually watched it, but I know that she is in it or was in it. I don't know if it's still on, but
yeah,
you know, she's still getting work, and I appreciate that.
That does my heart good that she's still out there.
Yeah, dog. My first crush was Molly Ringwald.
Oh, all right. Yeah, Breakfast Club.
Yeah, like my mom and my sister really liked John Hughes movies, like, you know, Breakfast Club and
Uncle Buck
and Pink.
Yeah. Didn't he do like Uncle Buck too? Home Alone.
Yeah. He did. So like Molly Ringwald. Whew, my first wife was redhead, and she's just insane. Who is your hero?
Who's my hero? I don't know. It's one of those things. I don't particularly like ever have like one given hero at any given time.
Someone in your family could be your hero, or someone that does something, you know, in the community could be your hero. It could be an actor or a musician who lives a lifestyle that you aspire to. I don't know. Who's your hero?
All right. Well, here we go, Dan. I'm going to kiss ass and get some brownie points here.
Shit. Go for it, Dan.
I'm going to go ahead and call out and say that you are definitely a hero in our little hobby community here. You know, following through, I think pretty much everybody you talk to would probably back me up on that. Like, a lot of the positivity you put out into the community, a lot of the good that you do.
I was going to say my hero is Robert Downey Jr. because he did a bunch of coke and just sort of stuck with it.
Yeah, just kind of like.
And now he's like awesome. Like,
Iron Man. Like, that's, I remember when I heard them cast him as Iron Man, I'm like, you could not have picked a better dude to play Tony Stark.
That's what I said. I was like, perfect. Oh, so he's so good.
He's been like living that lifestyle for like ever. So
he's like legit,
natural.
Like, and Tropic Thunder, one of my favorite movies of all time.
God, yes. Came out. The best part and like what made that movie work so well is it just like kind of mocked like the whole like Hollywood taking itself too seriously at times.
Yeah,
and it was like it was, and like none of those actors they had that, like Ben Stiller, Jack Black, like, and the, like, those are the kind of guys, like, I picture if you're ever, like, sitting having a beer or something with them, like, that's the kind of guy they would be.
Oh, yeah, it would be amazing. And just to go on a total other tangent, did you ever listen to the commentary for the movie, like the DVD commentary for Tropic Thunder?
Way back when it first came out on, like, DVD Blu-ray, but confession, I was entirely way too fucked up to remember any of that.
Well, because Robert Downey Jr. stays in character the whole commentary.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so like in the movie he says, I don't come out of character till the DVD commentary. And then he does it in the DVD commentary.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, yet another reason RDJ is my hero, but thank you for saying that I am a hero in the community. I'm just trying to bring positivity, and everything sucks in the world, so let's try to make it suck a little less in our corner, you know?
That's it, and it's a great standpoint to come from. So, yeah, like, that one actually kind of caught me off guard. Like I said, I don't really think about it too much. Like, I kind of, in ways, try to, like, be somebody for somebody to look up to.
Yeah.
Not so much, like, do it myself, but I figured, brownie points being on your podcast, too. So.
Right. You know, there's an old saying, it's like, think globally, act locally, and that doesn't go, you know, that doesn't only apply to activism, but it also applies to, you know, how you treat people, how you act, acts of kindness and things like that, because, you know, I might not be able to affect the world, but I might be able to affect, you know, the dozen or so people I see in a day. I might be able to affect the couple of hundred people that follow me on Twitter, you know, but...
Yeah. And then in doing so,
that maybe grows into something else. So that's what I'm trying to do. That's all.
That's what you figure. Just, you know, go through your day and just be a decent human in your everyday going ons.
Right.
And you'll probably affect more positively that way than, you know, shooting for the stars and.
Yeah, exactly. But isn't that sad that that's kind of an anomaly that, you know, being like a kind, decent person is like, oh, wow, that guy's actually nice. Like people like say, oh. I didn't expect you to be so nice.
Yeah, like it's funny you mention that. Like you go out somewhere and like somebody holds a door open for you, and it's like I'm surprised by it. I'm like,
yeah.
What the fuck happened to this world, man?
Exactly. That's where we are, Dan.
Dan,
you go to karaoke. What song do you sing? Bonus points if it's a duet we do together.
I don't know if it's a duet, but and I can't believe I'm actually like admitting this on the internet.
Do it.
All right, you know the song "Take on Me" by A-ha? I think it's A-ha.
Great song. Yeah, classic song.
Yeah, if you get a few shots in me, I'll go out. I'll hit those notes. Well, try to hit those notes. I sing like an animal going through like a meat grinder. Like it's not pleasant, but I have fun doing it, and usually gets the room laughing and having a good time. So I'll.
He's a good jam, dude, and like everybody knows it.
So yeah,
you got that audience participation thing going on as well.
Oh yeah, I've done it a few times, and it's gotten pretty good reviews, and I don't mind making an ass out of myself if it makes everybody else laugh. So
karaoke is very here's the tricky part about karaoke, and I found this when I used to do karaoke every once in a while. I'm not a good singer by any stretch of the imagination, but there are people that like that's their thing, and people are like really good singers. So you go to karaoke thinking you're just gonna have like fun and be silly and sing like shit and it's gonna be good. And then there's like all these amazing singers at the karaoke bar, like just killing it. And you're like, oh, I'm not getting up there now because there's so many good singers here. Like I've done that so many times where I'm like, yeah, let's go do karaoke. And like three or four songs in, these people are just amazing. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit back and chill.
Yeah, that's definitely how I feel most of the time. Like I said, if I get a little lubed up on alcohol, I'll kind of give myself that liquid courage. I'll get up there. But
I'll lube you up, Dan.
Musical. Don't tease. Like all the musical talent in my family's gene pool, like I got completely left out of every last drop of it. Like everything, like my sister is like a great singer and musically inclined. Like my cousin is, you know, he's in a band. He's any instrument the kid picks up, he can play.
Oh, awesome.
Like my aunt was, you know, she's done like recordings and stuff before. So it's like all that musical talent just kind of avoided me.
At least we still have karaoke.
That's it.
So what's your favorite fictional race from any game?
I'm a big fan of like the Turians in Mass Effect.
Which one are those?
Like, I'm trying to think. Garrus was the character. Garrus.
Okay.
They're like they're kind of like weird looking like lizard things.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Stand up. Yeah. I was like, even from the first Mass Effect, like I've always been a big fan of them. Like just that it reminds, it's kind of like almost like a samurai kind of discipline. Like, oh, I guess, okay. Like with their discipline, like, all right, hey, we're dedicating ourselves to this one thing and we're going to be the best we can possibly be at it. And I always thought that was like a cool thing with them.
I think I played the first one, but I don't know if I finished it.
The first one was really good. The second one was my absolute favorite.
Or was it the second? No, I'm pretty sure it was the first one. Like, I had that, you know, role-playing game, you know, I was really into Knights of the Old Republic, like,
yes,
the first one, and that kind of has the same, like, mechanic almost exactly. Like, is it made by the same company?
Yeah, I think that was all BioWare.
Yeah, BioWare, exactly, yeah. It did, it's got the exact same feel to it, and I love that.
Yeah, they did Dragon Age, too, I think. Dragon Age games.
Not enough robots and lasers in Dragon Age for me.
Yeah. Knights of the Old Republic was definitely my draw. Like, I remember when that game first came out on like the original Xbox. This is it. This is my jam.
This is the shit. Well, I bought that game and then I realized it wasn't like a straight up like, you know, like adventure type game. And
yeah.
Put it on the shelf for like 2 or 3 months and then I kept reading that it was amazing. I was like, all right, I'll give it another shot. And then I like, got super like drawn into it and just, yeah, so good. So fucking good.
Yeah, I think it took a little bit to like get into that, because like the very beginning of the game was a little clunky and
yeah,
kind of hard to follow.
I have it on my phone.
Do you?
Yeah, you can go to Google Play and like download it.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and it's the exact same game. Like everything is exactly the same.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, feel free to waste some time doing that.
Might have to check that out.
Yeah. So do you do RPG? And if so, tell me about your character.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I haven't. The last time I've actually sat down like with a group of people and played a tabletop RPG was, I think, like 5 years ago.
Oh, man.
It was before my son was born. Like and it was good. It was D&D. We played D&D 4th edition. It was actually before 5th really came out. We had a group of us. We met every Tuesday night.
Oh, damn.
Like, and we actually were pretty regular for like 2 years almost. So like we had like a really cool campaign going. Like our characters were developed pretty good. And then the group fell apart. And pretty much since my son was born, like my time for, you know, being able to go blow 5-6 hours a night.
Yeah.
Kinda,
how old's your son?
He'll be 4 in May.
Yeah.
So like 3.5.
You know, they get older. They start meet. You can leave them for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
You know, leave food and water on the floor and they're fine.
Give them a little hamster bottle here. Here you go. Like take a nip out of that.
you know, like some water and like just leave a diaper in the corner so they can change themselves if they need to.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The thing I like he shows a lot of interest in this kind of stuff already.
Oh, okay.
Like, if I'm That's sitting there cool. painting, like he'll want to come sit on my lap and he's like, hey, you know, Dad, can I help you? Like if I'm playing a game at the house, like usually like my sister will come over and the two of us will get a game in. Like we'll put him on a stool and he'll just like stand there and, you know, roll dice for us. And so I'm like, I'm laying the roots down, you know, nice. Once he hits that age.
Indoctrination.
Yeah, right. But as for my character for that campaign, I played a dragonborn fighter who was like kind of just like an absolute like savage fighting. But he was also a total book nerd. Like I always like was carrying like a like archaeology and history books with him. I always carried like a chess set with him. So like a lot of like kind of had that like split personality kind of deal going.
Cool. Like he's totally like a nerd, and then like he just fucking freaks out in combat and just gets
crazy
with it. Like he's got a dark side.
It's kind of like let's go. Swords come out, and he's like, "All right, let's do this."
How long did you have that campaign going for?
Like I said, it was probably close to 2 years going.
That's awesome. Man. That's tough to do.
Yeah, it's hard. Like that's a, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Like, I mean, I've always played, like even since I was younger playing, I think I got cut my teeth on like the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons 2nd edition.
Yeah, there you go.
And, like I kind of knew how hard it was to keep a regular group going at that point. So like I tried not to really take any of that for granted when we were really in our swing there.
So what's the last game you played and did you win?
Last game was last week I played a game of 40K and I did win. It was a good close game though. We were trying out the new missions in the new chapter approved.
Oh, yeah. I heard they're pretty good.
Yeah, it was like we had that one where it's like you have the five objectives, and then like the beginning of every round you roll a die. And like depending on what you roll, that objective is worth more points at the end of that turn. And every turn we kept rolling the one that they're all worth double points. So
it's like stacking up the points.
It was like we had the way with the objectives were set, you had like two on each side. And then you had like one dead center of the board.
Yeah.
Well, like we ended up getting Dawn of War deployment. So like both of us had those two objectives. So like the entire game was just based around this like giant melee in the middle of the board, which those are fun. I like playing those kind of games.
What armies?
I was playing my Blood Angels, and my opponent was playing, actually it was my sister. We were trying to get her a new list. She was playing like a Dark Eldar, Eldar mix. Running that like new Wraith host kind of deal. So it was pretty cool to kind of play something a little different.
What's your go-to band or artist when you can't decide on something to listen to?
I will always go back to a Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh shit. There you go.
Yeah, man. I actually got to go see them live again this year.
Nice.
They were playing at the Atlantic City Beer Festival. So
I didn't know they were still playing.
I didn't either.
That's funny because me and my wife just had a conversation because I just started school and we were talking about like music, and she was like, man, these kids, they probably don't even know like any of the stuff that you listen to. She's like, they probably don't even know Mighty Mighty Boss Tones is a thing. And I was like, oh Jesus.
Yeah. That's either them or all like Less Than Jake, Phoenix TX, like kind of going back to my young teen roots there.
Yeah. Like sort of the punk pop ska whole, you got it all together.
That's it.
Putting a picture together. Do you have any checkerboard bands that you happen to wear?
No, I don't. I've never hit that phase.
There's still time, Dan.
I know. There's maybe midlife crisis. I'll kind of revert a little bit.
You got to. You know, like how old are you? 33,
34?
34. Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it's about time for a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I'm getting there. We'll see.
Just do something. I mean, you're at this age now where if someone like has a problem with your shoes, you're just like, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you.
And then what are they going to do? You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to impress anybody. Like, that's the best thing about getting old. Like, you just stop giving a shit about impressing people. And you're just like,
you want me to wear nice shoes? Go buy me a pair.
Yeah, you got a fucking shoe problem? Go fucking stick it in your ass. You know, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? You just do what you want. And that's, like, the best part about being old.
It's so funny because then you look back at, like, you know, what all of us were like when we were younger, and you cared so much what other people thought. Like,
had an image and a whole look and everything.
Yeah, like every little detail had to be thought ahead by a week or two.
Right. Hey, did the Boston still have that guy that just dances?
Yeah, actually, it was funny.
Is it the same guy? Like, how's he moving
now? Same exact dude. He's still got it pretty good. Still got it pretty good.
How awesome is that? Like, you're in the band and you just dance. Like, that's your thing. You get people hyped up.
Yeah, we actually got a picture with him after the show too, because like they're, you know, they came down and we're talking to people, drinking beers with people and shit. It was awesome. And we actually, like, I met him and got a picture with him. Fuck, I don't even remember. I was maybe like 16. We went and saw him at a show, and I was there with my same two friends who like we used to go to concerts together with.
Oh, awesome! Yes.
So we were like, yeah, here we are as old men again. Well, not old men, but you know.
Yeah. Older gentlemen.
Older gentlemen.
What do you like most about your family?
Everybody's like really easygoing. Like, yeah. I feel like very lucky that, I mean, you know, everybody's family, you get drama and bullshit like that. But for the most part, when we get like a big family get together, like there's not a lot of bullshit. Everybody's kind of happy to see. We don't get to see each other as often. Yeah. So like everybody kind of like puts bullshit aside and just has a good time and chills and. I mean, yeah, every now and then you'll still get something, but it's definitely, I think that's one of, and like, everybody, like I said, everybody's laid back. Like, it's always just a chill time, hang out.
Chill group of people. What would you say is the big turning point in your life?
Probably when I met my wife. Actually, well, right before. Like, I guess you know how they say like that, you always date like the craziest person you ever date before, like you meet the person you settle down with.
Right.
Like, yeah, hands down, that was my deal. Like, you know, I was like at that time, like it was actually back when I was kind of living at the animal house I was telling you about before.
Yeah, it was sounding like a good time.
Yeah, like I was just, you know, dating around and having fun and all that. And then I got mixed up with this one girl, and she was fucking crazy. Everybody was telling me, like, dude, you're dumb. Like, and you know what? I think maybe I just needed to get it out of – I needed to experience it, get it out of my system.
Was she, like, really attractive?
Yes. Yeah, she was a child, like, that whole carefree attitude and
– scale.
Yeah, like – and then after a while – it was great at first. Then after a while, man, she actually stabbed me with a pencil.
Oh.
That was – yeah, that was – That was kind of the big, like, you know, after I was like, all right, this is done. We need to stop. She swung by to grab stuff from my house. And of course, you know, that never goes nice and smooth and ends well.
Awful.
Yeah. Like, my roommate came and he's like, I'm going to call the cops if you don't leave.
Wow. And yeah. And then she stabbed you with the pencil, like, while she was coming to get her stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got into an argument and she was yelling at me. I was like, just get your stuff and leave. Just leave. I don't care anymore. I don't care. And, like, she just hulked out. And it was actually like, I remember, like, later that night, like, I'm sitting on, like, we had, like, a, like, stoop out front, and I'm sitting there with, like, one of my roommates, and we're just drinking a beer. And I was like, yep. Okay. I'm done. I'm ready to settle down. And I had my fun.
How long did it take you after that occurrence to when you met your wife and was like,
I think it was like 8 months later.
Okay.
Actually.
You didn't like jump right back.
No.
Someone stabs me, I'm like, I might not be dating for a while.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was. Like, I actually got like pretty introvert, like, hey, we're going out tonight. You coming with us? I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, there's a lesson there.
There is. You know, there is.
Hide your pencils.
That's it.
When there's crazy people around, hide anything that you use as a weapon.
I'm glad she grabbed that because I had, like, you know, it was on my desk in my room. So I had, like, pens, pencils, like, my laptop was there. Like, she could have smashed that over my head.
She could have stabbed you with, like, a Chaos Space Marine or something. Is there really?
Yeah, right.
What's the best gift you've ever been given?
Actually, I have it. It's actually hanging up in my room where I'm sitting here now. My wife got me a couple years ago. It's like a pencil drawing piece of art, but it's a bunch of dragons sitting around a table, and it actually, like, the title of it's called Houses and Humans, and it's like they have like dice and pencils and shit. It's like the dude has like a book that's what does it say on there? It's like Adventure Module Bill's Bungalow. Like, yeah,
that's pretty cool. Good. You're gonna have to take a picture of that and tweet it so we can all see it because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I can do that after we're done here.
Like dragons playing a human game.
Yeah, she ran. I forget where she was, but she like ran in this. Like, and the artist, I guess, does like all kinds of stuff like that. And she saw it and was like, "Oh, this is perfect for you." So yeah, I got a frame that's like hanging up in my hobby room here.
What was your first job?
I worked as basically a yard bitch in a lumber yard.
Nice.
Kind of, you know, running around like cleaning up and stuff like that. And hey, you know, all this stuff here needs to be restacked, kid. Go get it. It's
like, how old were you when you had that job?
Like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Like just starting to drive, like that kind of deal.
Yeah, getting a little cash in your pocket back when gas wasn't so expensive and you could fill up a car for a couple bucks.
I remember, like, I think gas was like $1.60 when I first started driving.
Oh, man. Dude, gas was like, when I first started driving, was like, listen to how old we sound. Anyway, gas was like 95 cents a gallon when I was in high school, when I was starting to drive.
And those were the days.
You could get $5 and you could go somewhere.
You didn't even have to walk uphill for it.
Nope. There was no snow. Oh, my God. Yeah, like, so I can't imagine, like, kids starting now, and this is just, I mean, I'm not going to get political or anything, but, like, you know, younger people now, like, the cost of living so expensive. It's like a job like you're describing, you know, it doesn't pay a lot. You know, minimum wage is like, what, $8, $11 or something like that? I can't remember. Just
I think it depends on where you're at. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, just to get gas in your car to go to your job to stack fucking wood is like, it's going to kill you.
Right. It's like not even worth it doing it in that case.
No, man. It's just, it makes me super sad for, like, you know, the situation that people are in. And there's this whole, like, millennials are lazy, blah, 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 like all this other BS that I just don't ascribe to because it's like, man, they're doing the same thing we were doing, but, like, getting paid less and things are more expensive and just like, oh, my God.
Different times.
Yeah, dude. I don't know why I just went on a crazy-ass tangent with that one, but...
That's all right.
I feel, you know, my daughter, she's 22. She's about to be 22. you know, and she still lives at home, and my ex-wife is just like kind of freaking out, like, well, she needs to go and do this, she needs to go and do that. And I'm like, yeah, but how? Like, she just wants her to just go get an apartment. I'm like, you know how expensive it is to just go get an apartment? Like, want like a month's worth of rent up front before you move in, and you got like deposits for all this other stuff, and then it's deposits to turn on water, to turn on electricity. I mean, this is a couple of grand just to get
going. Easily.
Yeah. And, you know, she just doesn't, she doesn't understand that. And it's just like,
okay. That's what I even said to my wife. I was like, you know, if we move again, like, we're just burning the house down. Like, we'll cover our, you know, as long as we don't get nailed for like insurance fraud. Right, not that I'm, all right, not disclosure, not, or disclaimer, not, I'm not really doing this, but
yeah, do you want me to edit this part out?
Nah, it's good.
I'm gonna leave it in. I'll be on the stand at your trial.
I was gonna say something to like, watch some freak accident happens in the future, right, and like, guy comes out of nowhere. Well, goddamn, we caught you saying this on the internet.
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
One of my tens of listeners is a prosecuting attorney, so you're fucked.
Right.
I'll be on the stand. Yes, I believe he was malicious in intent when he said it. Just something about him, I never trusted him.
We need to take the hobby podcast talk extremely seriously here. He truly meant everything.
Serious shit. God. You ready for the last question? The final question?
Sure.
You know what the final question is?
Usually it's you ask about promoting something.
Yeah, do you have anything to promote, Dan?
Alas, I have nothing to pimp out today, Dan.
Oh, shit.
I'd like to go through, like, I keep having aspirations that I want to, like, do up a hobby blog, and then I just get really lazy and don't end up following through with it. Maybe one day.
So no blog? You know, and blogs and podcasts and all this other stuff, I mean, it's fun, but then, you know, it's still work. So I appreciate people that produce content and do things.
Yeah, definitely. I always try to make, if it's a podcast or something I listen to, I always, you know, rating and all that, try to whatever they need to help grow it and succeed with it, because it's definitely work that I don't want to put in, so I can appreciate somebody that does.
Just get to enjoy it.
That's it.
Most of the time for free.
Yeah, usually. You'll see, like, a lot of them will put, like, the Patreons and stuff. They kind of, like, consider it. It's like, oh, hey, this is a tip jar. Like, we're not putting anything behind. Yeah. But, and you know what? I think, like, most people are happy to do that, too. Like, if it's something like that, like, just kick a dollar or two a month.
Like, I have a hard time with that. Like, I don't like asking people for money. Like, I'd rather give something to somebody and they give me the money for it. You know?
Yeah, I'm the same way myself. I'll have no problem. Like, to me, like, what do? You throw a dollar or two out? Like, we all probably spend more buying coffee a week.
Yeah. Dan, thanks for being on my podcast.
Anytime, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for subjecting yourself to the 20-odd questions. And you're supposed to tell me which sci-fi character you relate to the most.
All right, that's right.
Thought you could sci-fi. Get away with it, didn't you?
You got me. I was hoping I could, like, sneak out the back door there. Goddamn.
Well, the thing is, I know a lot about back doors, my friend. So you got to wake up pretty early in the morning.
All right, fictional character.
Or you can just pass. You could give a pass if you want.
I don't want to rob you of content. Unfortunately, I don't.
That's all right. We've been talking for a long time anyway.
Yeah, we have. Anyway, what time is it?
I edit it all down. It's whatever, you know. Usually it's like I take out all of me rambling, and then it like meets my time, like, you know, how the time I want to be at.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with a pass on that. I don't know.
That's fair.
I can't really. I think that'd be a better question to ask, like, other people. Hey, what do you think of what sci-fi character best describes Dan?
That's one of my go-tos.
Right on.
All right, Dan. Thanks for being on the podcast, dude. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was, Dan.
All right.
And looking forward to seeing you guys at Adepticon.
So as you all know, and I've probably rambled on about it before, I am going to be running some games of Star Wars Edge of the Empire RPG at Adepticon coming up this March in a couple of months. I'm very excited about it, and I'm going to be honest, this is the first time I have run a role-playing game at a convention. I've been running role-playing games since I was about 14 years old. When I first got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Other Strangeness role-playing game book by Palladium Games. Palladium, of course, made Rifts and Heroes Unlimited. Really awesome system. And I had one friend that played, and him and I would just sort of go back and forth GMing for the other. And that's how I started. I did that for quite a few years, and then those groups started to grow and grow and grow. And I've always just been GMing games for it feels like forever. But the Star Wars role-playing game, as you know, I've talked about it before. I'm a huge fan. It's by Fantasy Flight. So in preparation for my games at Adepticon, I put together a one-shot of the scenario that I will be running for a buddy of mine and a couple of his friends. So Saturday night, I had five new players sitting at my table. And, you know, I'm always a little nervous beforehand because I want to make sure everyone is having a good time. And also, I did not know any of them except for the one friend. So that was also a little nerve-wracking because, you know, you never know who's going to end up at the table. And also, it was in my house, so you never know who's going to end up in your house. And you always hope that they're good people and not just crazy and coming to tear stuff apart or be antagonistic or whatever. But, hey, I had faith. I had faith that the game was going to be great and that we were all going to have a good time, and I was correct. Three out of the five were experienced role players that had played D&D before, and then I had two guys that this was their first RPG, and I was very happy about that because I love to be the first role-playing experience for folks that have never played before. And I have a great time GMing. I often have background ambiance going. I had, like, you know, a spaceport going, and then when they moved into the city, I had city ambiance playing, so there's people walking around, and you hear random ships and these kind of things. I usually print out, like, sort of clip art and things, artwork for that setting. So I sort of just like clip those to the front of my GM screen to kind of give an idea of the sort of people that they're seeing walking around, or maybe different rivals, or, you know, when a certain person appears, I have a picture for them. And, you know, I just like to give a lot of visual information. And I also have my trusty dry erase board so I can draw quick maps. And I've got minis that I put on the maps, which I found very helpful. I used to be like a theater of the mind kind of guy where everything was in your imagination. But models just help so much whenever everyone's trying to visualize where they're standing and where the bad guys are standing and where they can run, where they can hide. So, yeah, I like my dry erase board. I draw some maps out and we pop our models on there and we just sort of scooch them around to show where we're going and what we're doing. And it always works out really well. The game was a lot of fun. We clocked in the whole explaining how to play and finishing up the scenario right under 5 hours, which I think that's a good 4 hours is a good zone for me. But that first probably 30 to 40 minutes was just sort of explaining how the characters worked, explaining how the dice work, a little bit of exposition, and of course setting up the scene before we actually kind of got everything going. You know, and of course we had to sit down and sort of chit-chat a little bit and talk with everybody and meet and see who had experience and who didn't have experience, and, you know, kind of what I expected as a GM, which I always feel is very important for the GM, especially if you're doing it sort of on your own free time. You know, I don't like people to come in and waste my time. So, you know, I tell them, hey, I expect you not to be looking at your cell phone, and I expect you to, you know, respect everybody else and keep the isms and philias out of this thing. And, you know, we're going to have fun. So don't ruin the fun for everyone else. So it's very important for me. The group was great. They were very imaginative. A couple of them did voices, which I thought was fantastic. I love voices. I got to tell you, when I'm GMing games and a character has like some sort of tick or a voice or something that represents that character, it's so much easier to know when something is happening in game or if they're asking me as the GM a question as the player. So yeah, it's great. There was a lot of good role playing. And since it's a one shot and there's no XP that's going to be generated to like carry on to the next game, I basically awarded good role playing with additional bonus dice. We had some really good one liners. We had some really good characterizations of the player characters. You know, the sheets were pre-generated and I gave them some, you know, some jumping off points for how that character would act and what they're about and their background. And they just took it and ran with it, and it was really awesome. So I am looking forward to running my games at Adepticon even more now because I've kind of got a better feel for my scenario. I made a couple of tweaks, and I think it's going to run very, very smoothly. And I'm super excited. And now I am wishing that I had signed up to do to GM more games at Adepticon. But there's always next year, and there's always plenty more cons, so I think that's a thing I'm going to focus on this year. I really enjoy running games. It's just, I love it. I love seeing a group of people laughing and having a good time. And then at the end, we're just talking about the different situations that happened. You know, you're telling stories. And that's great. That's what we want. That's what I'm here for. That's what I love to do. Hey, thanks again for listening to the Havoccast podcast. I'm up to number 13. I'm very excited about that. It seems to be going well for the people that listen, the fans that give me feedback. I love you guys. You're fantastic. You're the reason that I keep doing this. It's just great to hear that you're enjoying it. And please tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your cousins, tell everyone that the Havoccast is the podcast they should be listening to. Hey, and they can listen to it on iTunes. They can listen to it on Spotify. And they can also find it on Google Play. And if you would, please leave me a review on any of those formats, because any extra little boost is always very helpful. It puts you more at the top of the list when people are searching the keywords for this kind of thing, which is wargaming, hobbies, role-playing games, etc. And it's just a good time. And I want to keep doing it, and I want to keep bringing awesome podcasts to you all. Thank you, and good night.